Men, if you would please look back with me at 1 John chapter 4 and one verse in particular in verse 3 that to me just seems to jump off the page. Notice verse 3 again says, "And every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God." Note this phrase now, "And this is that spirit of Antichrist, whereof ye have heard that it should come, and even now already is it in the world." You know, as we think about the news, the current events, the brand new year that we have, you know, it's certainly interesting, isn't it, that there's a spirit at work. You know, why do we hear wars and rumors of wars? The world is, the Bible says, going to wax worse and worse. Deceivers are going to continue to deceive, and we're going to see more of that as the days go on. Why is that the case? Well, there's many reasons for that, but one of the greatest is because of the spirit of this age. And it is the spirit of Antichrist. The Apostle John, if you're familiar with the lives of the apostles, then you know that John is the one that outlived them all. He is writing really towards the very end of the first century, and he's been living a long time. Many of the other disciples, most of them, in fact, have been dead for probably 30 years by the time John is writing. He is an old man now. He has lived long enough to see some of these first doctrinal heresies begin to creep their way into the churches that God has led these men and others to establish, to enable them to establish. And no doubt it's a burden to him. We know some of this in the epistles. We know that the Apostle John himself is going to say, "I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth." And he's writing these various epistles to different groups of people to help them understand the truth, to help buoy them in the truth as they're entering this age where, again, as he goes to glory, now you're left with second generation apostles and those kind of people, those that are following the early church fathers and others. And all we're going to have is the Holy Spirit of God and the Word of God, and that's all we need, but to carry on the work of God in this world. And what he's exposing these Christians to is the spirit of the age. Notice again, verse 3 says, "And every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. And this is that spirit of Antichrist." There are at least a couple of possibilities for the meaning of this phrase. It could be referencing the actual person of the Antichrist. Or for others, it might be a reference to a spirit that is simply anti or against Christ. Either way, the spirit that is against Christ will ultimately in the future, and we're already seeing it now, but ultimately in the future, it will be embodied by the person of the Antichrist. Our world is full of this spirit that is against Christ. In fact, if you're familiar with the Psalms, then you know that the second Psalm really pulls back the veil and reveals the collective attitude of this world and its leaders. As that Psalm says, David speaking says, "against the Lord and against his anointed." You know what that is? That's the spirit of Antichrist. It's against Christ. It's Antichrist. And make no mistake, this is the spirit of the age we are living in right now. The sad truth is the spirit of Antichrist can make its way into our hearts and into our church if we're not careful. God, by his spirit, gave the Apostle John some guidance in dealing with the spirit of Antichrist. And so I hope you have your hearts open and consider three truths from the text tonight. Number one, we note in the text the reality of the spirit of Antichrist. Notice verse 3 says, "And every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. And this is that spirit of Antichrist, whereof ye have heard that it should come," note this, "and even now already is it in the world." Notice what he's saying. He's saying it's not just something that's coming, it's here right now. And understand this, that long before the person comes in the future, the person of the Antichrist, the psyche of the Antichrist is here now. In other words, before the man gets here, the mindset is already here. What the Bible teaches about the man, frankly, will help us know more about the mindset. So let's consider a couple things about the reality of the spirit of Antichrist. First of all, consider the power behind the Antichrist. The power behind the Antichrist is the spirit. The spirit of Antichrist is the spirit of Satan. Let me remind you, Satan is the one who will be behind that charismatic and wicked man. Satan is the one who will initially energize and ultimately indwell the Antichrist, the one who was going to raise him from the dead and encourage him to speak blasphemies, empower the Antichrist to do miracles, is going to guide his career until he leads the world. The power behind the Antichrist. But then consider the preparation for Antichrist. You know, throughout history, as far back as Nimrod and the Tower of Babel in the book of Genesis, Satan has been preparing the world for the coming of the Antichrist. At various times, he appears to almost succeed, but ultimately he fails because of the ministry of the Holy Spirit. The Bible reminds us in 2 Thessalonians 2:7, "For the mystery of iniquity doth already work. Only he who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way." People like Napoleon or Mussolini or Nero or Hitler or Stalin and others were types of the Antichrist. And it's the same spirit that has motivated all of them. The spirit of Antichrist is already at work in the world. And the only thing that's hindering that work is the work of the Holy Spirit that is keeping that spirit in check. The Holy Spirit's ministry has been operating for thousands of years now, and God in his mercy has extended the age of grace. But now, once again, the stage is being set for the coming of the person of the Antichrist. And no matter how long it is until his coming, his spirit is already here. We've considered for a minute the power of the Antichrist, the preparation for him, but notice the person of the Antichrist. You know, we are living in an age of problems, right? That's pretty clear if you have any sort of access to news or have any interest in it. World leadership is missing, but here's the truth. You know this and I know this. Someone very soon is going to come with answers, right? Seeming answers. And when he comes, the world that is left without Christian people because of the rapture, right? Pre-rapture, we're pre-trib believers here, amen? Then because of that, then they're without Christian leadership, they're going to flock to that man. The Antichrist is going to be able to solve problems, seemingly. National problems throughout the world will appear to be solved under the Antichrist's one world government. Political turmoil will be no more because one person is going to rule and be in charge of everything on earth. Forget freedom. Forget liberty, forget freedom of speech, forget freedom of the press. It'll all be gone. Think of what we have because of God's blessing on America. It won't appear to be, but all of that is going to be gone. It's amazing the freedom people will give up in the name of security or a better situation. I mean, you notice that? I mean, I noticed it a few years ago with COVID. What we'll give up just for the idea of potentially being safer. Of course, we realize that all of that now was a crock. May we never fall for it again. That is the spirit of Antichrist. The greatest thing people get, frankly, from a Bible-believing, Bible-preaching church, right, just like this one, and that you'll find all over the country, is the truth. It's the greatest thing. It's nothing else. It's not social programs, social help. Do you realize that God has called the local church to be the pillar and ground of the truth? That's the greatest thing we have. And you know what the truth is? It's this book. The Bible says, "Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth." In fact, in the gospel record of John, there's only two things mentioned as the truth. That is Jesus Christ himself and the word of God. Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." And by the way, in the Gospel of John, we know that the Word of God and the Son of God are connected. What's another name for Jesus Christ? The Word. In other words, this is the truth. We don't have to wonder what the truth is. You say, what should we be about as a local New Testament church? Can I tell you something? We are to be beacons of truth in an age that is against it. That's the truth. That's the greatest thing we can do for this community, that you can do here, that we can do in Knoxville, is give people the truth. You say, about what? About heaven and hell. About life and eternity. The truth about God and the truth about Satan. You know, after the Antichrist comes to power, the world is going to have a dearth of truth. It's going to be a world of deception. We need to, first of all, understand in the text, we note the reality of the spirit of Antichrist. Consider secondly in the text this. And that is, we need to learn to recognize the spirit of Antichrist. Notice verse 1. Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Hereby know ye the spirit of God. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. And this is that spirit of Antichrist. Notice what he says. This is that spirit of Antichrist. The wording of that is critical. The text, in other words, points out that the spirit of Antichrist is exactly that. It's Antichrist. It is a spirit that denies the person and work of Jesus Christ. In other words, the spirit of Antichrist is diametrically opposed to the spirit of Christ. Let me give you a few tangible examples, again, that are rampant in our society now that show you and prove to you that this spirit of Antichrist is already at work in the world. Again, these are attitudes and parts of our psyche that are clearly Antichrist, and therefore they're of the spirit of Antichrist, right? Number one in the Bible tells us fear is a spirit that is Antichrist. 2 Timothy 1:7 says, "For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind." In other words, is there fear in our society today? Oh, yeah. It's everywhere. You listen to people being interviewed about things that don't even affect their lives necessarily on, you know, directly, and they're wringing their hands. I just don't know what's going to happen. I don't know what the president's doing. I don't know. We're all scared of everything. It's crazy, isn't it? Just scared. You know, if you're afraid today, can I tell you something? It's maybe hard to hear, but it's the truth of the Word of God. You didn't get that from God. You didn't get that spirit from Him. The Bible couldn't be any clearer. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear. If you have it, you didn't get it from Him. Health, you say, my hell, I'm worried about, I understand. Man, we've seen and experienced people going through great health needs and our heart breaks for them. But if you're afraid of that, you didn't get that from God. Finances, government, job, economy, future of the nation. If you're scared about any of those things, it doesn't mean we're not concerned, that we're not seeking God's face. I'm not saying any of those things, but if we're debilitating within our fear of those things, you didn't get that from God. Because you know what? Here's the truth. Every one of those situations I mentioned, God can handle. The psalm asks in Psalm 78, "Can God furnish a table in the wilderness?" Yes, He can. And He did. Read Exodus. He not only can, He did. He fed millions in the desert where there is nothing. And you know what? He can meet your need in your life too. If you have the spirit of fear, that is a spirit that is Antichrist. That is not something you got from God. That is something you've got from Satan. It's his spirit. That's what he does. He wants to work that fear up in our lives. Can I give you another one? Not only should we recognize the spirit of fear is not the spirit of Christ, but here's another one, confusion. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 14:33, "For God is not the author of confusion, but of peace, as in all churches of the saints." Notice again, God is not the author of confusion. You know, here's the truth today, and you know this to be true. Confusion abounds in our society today. People are confused about what gender they are. They're confused about which locker room to use. They're confused about which sports team to play on. They're confused about what a home looks like. By the way, that is a naturally born man and a naturally born woman, just to be clear. No other home can advance a civilization. People are confused about what truth is, where it can be found, and whether it's absolute or relative. In our society, many times, good is bad and bad is good. A few days ago, when I was pastoring in North Carolina during the pandemic, the state government told us that coming to church was bad because of the health risks, but going to the liquor store was fine. True story. We were supposed to remain shut down, but they opened up the state-run, the state-funded, the state-benefited by liquor stores. You know, if that's a circumstance and a situation that we accept, then we're seriously confused. In other words, we are confused about what is right and what is wrong. When it's wrong to talk about what the Bible says about an issue publicly, but it's right to riot and destroy somebody else's business, then as a society, we are confused, sadly confused. Confusion is the spirit of the age, and that spirit is the spirit of Antichrist. Let me give you another one. Lies. The spirit of lying. John 8:44 says, "You're of your father the devil, and the lusts of your father you will do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it." You know, the world in which we live is overrun with lying and deception. A society or individual that can look you in the eye and tell you a lie without even blinking is a society or an individual that has lost their conscience. You know, we have forgotten number two on God's list of seven abominable sins, and that is a lying tongue. The spirit of Antichrist is the spirit of lying. Let me give you one more, and I'm done with this point. Don't get excited yet. Here's another one. This is the spirit of Antichrist, the spirit of devouring. In 1 Peter 5:8, the Bible says, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, is a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour." The Bible does not say stop, hurt, or silence is what Satan wants to do. It says devour. That sounds pretty, you know, graphic, doesn't it? The word devour in 1 Peter 5 means to drink down or gulp. That's literally what it means. Satan wants to consume and eradicate you. You know, we live in an age of devouring. People actively try to devour their enemies in business, in politics. You see it all the time in their social circles. If somebody doesn't agree with you, then they need to be destroyed. It's not enough just to disagree with. You got to destroy them. You got to wipe them out. You got to take them out. You got to remove them off the board. And families, too, are often targeted by opposition. You know, the spirit of Antichrist is the spirit of devouring. I hope you can see that the spirit of Antichrist is permeating our world today. It's all around us. And we need to learn to recognize it so that we can avoid, not so that we can avoid it only, but so that we can also oppose it. We are armed with the truth and the spirit of God, which is all we need to do battle in this world. It leads me number three to the last thought, and that is our response. I'm not here just to tell you about the reality of the Spirit and to help you recognize it. What do we do about it? The text, though, doesn't end in verse 3, does it? It doesn't just show it to us and go, well, John, as he passes off this mortal coil and go to heaven, go, well, see ya. Good luck with that. I hope God helps you. No, no, no. Notice what he says in verse 4, and we see our response to the spirit of Antichrist. Verse 4 says, "You're of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world." Love that verse. It doesn't end just by depressing us with the reality of the spirit of Antichrist. It helps us know that as the children of God, we have victory. You say, how can we have victory? What's our response to the spirit of Antichrist? I'm going to give you three things tonight, and I'm done. Number one, as we think about our response to the spirit of Antichrist, number one, know you're saved. Verse 4, notice how it begins. "Ye are of God, little children." You know, the enemy might appear to be winning, but the real battle's already over. We are overcomers, not because of who we are, but because of who resides in us. You see, in other words, the devil is no match for the Holy Spirit. When Jesus walked the earth, there was a flood of demonic activity. Again, as you're familiar with the gospel records, you see that. Satan did his worst, but you know what? He lost to Christ every single time. Disease, death, demons, they were all powerless before the Son of God. And now the Spirit of God lives in those who know him as Savior as well. And he, too, is God. And Satan is just as powerless before the Holy Spirit as he was before the Son of God. The Bible reminds us here in this text, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. If in your Christian life you find the spirit of Antichrist, fear and confusion and lies and so on, the fault lies with you. The spirit of Antichrist is at work in the world, but we don't have to be overcome. We can and should overcome that spirit through the power of Christ and the power of the Holy Spirit working in us. Number one, know you're saved. Let me give you the second thought here. What's our responsibility? Number two, know you're suited. In other words, you're wearing the right suit. God has provided all we need to successfully wage spiritual warfare. In 2 Corinthians 10, the Bible says, "For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds." We don't have the time to study each piece of the Christian's armor. No doubt you've heard many examples of that. But for instance, here are a couple of examples that we do find in the scripture that are pieces of the armor of God that will help us wage spiritual warfare. You know them. Number one is faith. The Bible says in 1 John 5:4, here in the same book, so we don't have to turn very far. Notice 1 John 5:4 says, "For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith." In other words, in a world that is increasingly anti-Christ, we as God's people can continue to place our trust in Him. We can settle our trust. In Psalm 11, when the Bible says, "If the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do?" You know where the psalmist directs our attention in Psalm 11 immediately before and after that question? He directs us to the throne room of God. That's the idea. In a world that is crazy, you say, what do I do with all this confusion? There's so much confusion in the world. Yes, but you know who's not confused? The Lord. God's word is settled. "Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven." Go to the book. Get your eyes off of all these things and politics and Facebook and Twitter and X or whatever. I don't know now. I can't keep up. Get your eyes off of that and get your eyes on the Savior and on the scriptures. And you'll find the strength you need to keep going. We not only faith, but we know the word of God is mentioned in Ephesians 6 as well. We know it's the word of God that's quick and powerful. In Hebrews, the Bible says, "and sharper than any two-edged sword." Here's your weapon. We are overcomers through the power of God. We are of God, little children, and have overcome them. How? Here's our weapon, the word of God. Faith, the word of God. Here's another one we know from Ephesians is prayer. You know, put another way, God has given us, think about just those three I mentioned, the shield of faith, the sword of the Spirit, and then we have prayer in Ephesians 6, 16, 17, and 18, if you're familiar. In other words, if you think about those three, just those three that I mentioned, we have defensive, we have the shield of faith, we have the sword of the Spirit, that's offensive, and we have communicative. In other words, prayer, talking to God. We have all three areas of tools, offense, defense, and communication, with which to wage spiritual warfare. In other words, can I put it plainly? If you're losing in the spiritual war, the problem is not with the suit, but with the soldier. You've got the equipment. Are we using it? Know you're saved. Know you're suited. Let me give you this last one and I'm done, and that is know your situation. Know your situation. Turn with me, if you would please, to 2 Thessalonians. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, and we'll close with this verse. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. This whole chapter really is about the Antichrist and his coming and his spirit. But notice in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 1, what the Bible says. "Now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and by our gathering together unto him, that ye be not soon shaken in mind or be troubled, neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by letter, as from us, as that the day of Christ is at hand." Notice what he's saying. These Thessalonican believers, I mentioned this morning, they were under tremendous persecution. Again, Acts chapter 17, the beginning part of that, will give you some idea of the type of persecution that they were under. But that no doubt continued long after Paul was gone. And so he's writing to these Christians that are under intense persecution, reminding them in the first epistle to Thessalonica, he tells them over and over at the end of every chapter, Jesus is coming soon. Well, in the gap between 1 Thessalonians and 2 Thessalonians, some had been made to believe that they missed the rapture, that they'd missed it. And further, that some of those that had gone before them, their loved ones that had preceded them in death, that they were going to miss it. And so they have some confusion about this. And here in 2 Thessalonians, 1 Thessalonians, Jesus is coming. 2 Thessalonians, you know what the apostle's reminding them? Jesus is coming, just not yet. There's some things that have to unfold first. And he's going to lay many of those out in 2 Thessalonians 2. But let me leave you with this. As we think about our situation, the coming of Antichrist and the spirit of Antichrist that's already here, can I just remind you of something that you know, and that is that Jesus is coming soon. The fight is almost over. But here's a word of caution. Satan may be defeated, but he's not done. He's a loser. He's not a quitter. And there's a difference. You ever been a part of a team that's like losing and then they quit and it gets even worse? I have. You know, during World War II, some of the costliest months of the war occurred during the final few months. In fact, of the 560,000 casualties that the U.S. had in Europe during World War II, 62,700 of those occurred in Germany during the final 5 months. In other words, 11% of all U.S. casualties in Europe occurred when the war's outcome was already determined. Germany was defeated. They weren't done. And the same is true of Satan. Satan is still fighting, but Christ is coming. In Revelation 22:12, the Bible says, "And behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me to give every man according as his work shall be." We're living in the last days. The world is getting ready for the Antichrist and getting ready to be controlled. The spirit of Antichrist that is already at work in the world is preceding the person of the Antichrist. And before the great imitator of the Lord Jesus comes, Christians will be raptured. The mystery of iniquity is already at work. The spirit of Antichrist is already in the world. The rampant sin of our society is being held back by the Holy Spirit. You know, frankly, as Christians, we're not looking for Antichrist. We do need to be aware of the spirit of Antichrist, but we're looking for the Lord Jesus Christ. And at any moment, Jesus Christ will come again. No other prophecy needs to be fulfilled before the trumpet sounds and Christ takes us home. When we are gone, the Antichrist will appear. In these last days, the spirit of Antichrist is moving across our country and around the world. That spirit is setting the table and getting things ready for the personality that's going to step onto the world stage when we're gone. But until then, may God help us to be discerning, alert, and let me be honest, enthusiastic. You say, why should we be enthusiastic? I see so many Christians and they look depressed. Why? We're on the winning side. What's there to be depressed about? It may seem like the world is winning. Can I tell you something? Things aren't always what they seem. God is at work in the world, and we're on the winning side. Let's bow for prayer. You know, if you're here today and you're not sure that you're saved, I want to encourage you tonight to trust Christ before it's too late. Don't believe Satan's lies that there are lots of ways to heaven or that eternity is not really real. It is real, and there's only one way to heaven, and that is through Jesus Christ. If you're here today and you are saved, don't be ignorant of, but certainly don't be ignorant of, we shouldn't be ignorant of Satan's devices, but nor should we be affected by the spirit of Antichrist. Allow the mirror of God's word to examine. Look into it tonight, and if you see fear or confusion or the idea of lies and you're believing those things or this vindictive, devouring spirit towards Christian brothers and sisters, if you see these spirits or maybe others that God brings to your mind that are clearly antichrist, don't tolerate them. Don't excuse them. Let's confess them and get rid of them. We don't want to start the new year as a local body affected by the spirit of Antichrist. We should be opposed to it. Why? Because we're overcomers of it. not because of who we are, but because of what Christ has done in us, what he's already done for us, and what he wants to do in us. Tonight, know you're saved. If you don't know you're saved, then I hope that you get that settled tonight. Know you're suited. Have you put on the armor of God? Know your situation. Jesus is coming. He's coming soon. Are you ready? I think when our master comes, we're not going to want to be full of the spirit of Antichrist, are we? As God's people, I think we would want to be, we'd want to find our master, our savior, finding his church, his people, carrying on in his spirit and through his spirit in an age of the spirit of Antichrist. May God help us. Father, we thank you for your word and for the few minutes that we've had to study it tonight. Thank you for this church, the work that you continue to do in this community through these folks. We pray that you'll bless them. Pray that you'll help us. No doubt the spirit of Antichrist is at work in this community as it is all over the world. And so we pray that you'll help this church to be full of people, full of Christians who know they're saved, who know they're suited, who know their situation, who are standing as overcomers in a world that seeks to dominate and devour them. Because that is the spirit of Satan. Help us to be children who walk in your spirit and know your victory in this world. We pray that you'll please help us. Help us now during this invitation. Help us to respond and do business with you. And we will thank you for what you're going to do. For we ask these things in Christ Jesus' name we pray. Amen.